The Early Birds Catches the Worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And as it has always been the case, this is a time, this is a moment that we discuss economic, business, and developmental affairs. We look at issues of international trade, international relations, and also what is happening at home, what is bread and butter, and how are we doing, particularly when it comes to economic affairs, global development, and also when it comes to food security. How are we doing? How are we doing when it's coming to safety? Because safety, peace, stability are some of the ingredients that are needed to make sure that the country has achieved its national priority. You attract investment either domestically or internationally. And we are seeing that, the country is preparing. It's preparing toward regional and local authority elections. And we see various, political parties, political leaders positioning themselves and campaigning. And our question and our encouragement has always been to say, let us look at things beyond 26 November. Let us look at things beyond 26 November. Let us evaluate what we have done. And also let us see what this need to be done better, particularly post-regional and local authority elections, particularly in that area of the townships, and also the relationship between village councillors, constituency councillors, the people, and also line ministries, because at the end of the day, what matters is service delivery and the basic human, rights to be, to be fulfilled, right, for shelter, safety, and also security. But yeah, before we go to the conversation for today, because today's conversation, we are going to ask questions to say, let us look at our house, let us look at our room, let us look at our kitchen, and also ask ourselves to say, how many of the things I'm using were made by Namibians? And when you look at the product that you have, how much money have we sent outside the country? When you are at any point in time at a wedding, at a gala dinner, you look at toothpicks, for example, you look at, tissues and many other things that you see, either plates, you're asking yourself to say, who made these plates and, what percentage of what I'm consuming is made from Namibia? And you'll be surprised if you do your research, you'll be surprised, and you're also asking yourself to say, if we speak about industrialization, if we speak about expanding of our economy, where are we going to start? Can we start at smaller things? But that is going to be the main conversation for today. But for now, let us look at what is happening. It's quite, it's quite a lot of things which are happening, especially in Africa and also that side of Bangladesh. Before we go to the conversation of the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister of Bangladesh, who was sentenced to death, let us start with, let us look at this news of a gunman or gunmen in Nigeria. It was indicated that gunmen or armed men attacked a high school in northwestern Nigeria. And they have abducted 25 school girls, killing at least one staff. That is according to the authority. It was indicated that, it's a group of men, it's a militia. And it was also stated that before they leave or before they escape with 25 school girls, they have, exchanged fire with police. But they managed to escape with school girls, 25 school girls. And this has been, one of the trending news. It was also indicated that these assailants were armed with sophisticated weapons and exchange fire with guards before abducting a girl. So, you know, the security in Nigeria, has been questioned, especially inability or difficulty of the authority to cater for, you know, to protect the population, especially from militia, you know, also from terrorist groups such as the active Islamist group, and also the Boko Haram. And it's not the first time. Because if you go to the history of Nigeria, especially looking at Boko Haram, what it has been doing, when you look at 2014 onward, where what is known as Chimboko girls, where Boko Haram has abducted over 270 students from Chibok in Borno State, and you know, this abduction indicating that you know, there's been one of the trends, especially in the conflict in that part of Nigeria. But let us look at this news and move forward. And also the question to say, what is the who motivates the militia to abduct girls, 25 girls? Because beforehand what had happened, especially from 2014, when over 200 girls were abducted, some of them they were turned into, or they were converted into Islam. Some of them they were showed on TV, converted into Islam, and also you know, some of them were released. But it's quite terrible news, particularly when it comes to security. But let us look at this news and move forward.
Gunmen have abducted 25 schoolgirls in a new attack on a high school in northwestern Nigeria. The assault took place at a boarding school in the Denko-Wazegu area of Kebbi State. Police said the schoolgirls were taken from their dorms at around 4 a.m. local time on Monday. The assailants were armed with sophisticated weapons and exchanged fire with guards before abducting the girls. They also killed the school's vice principal, who was reportedly trying to protect the students. Another staff member sustained gunshot wounds. No armed group immediately claimed responsibility for the kidnapping, and their motivation was unclear. Authorities said a search and rescue operation is ongoing to recover the abducted students and arrest the perpetrators. Schools in northern Nigeria have become frequent targets of armed groups in the past decade.
Yeah, that is what is happening. That is what is happening, especially that side of Nigeria. But let us look at the trending news, especially the trending news of, you know, the outset leader of, you know, Bangladesh, the former prime minister, was sentenced to death, that is in Bangladesh. It was indicated that, you know, Sheikh Hasin was found guilty of allowing lethal force to be used against protesters and the killing of 1,400 people during unrest last year. It was stated that Hasin, 78 years old, was tried in absentia by International Crimes Tribunal in Bangladesh and have been, you know, exiled in India since he was forced from power in July of 2024. You know, it's quite a trending news, and it's also quite, it's a bad news to see, especially when leaders use state machinery, especially to score their political points or to maintain power. Especially when there was protest also in Bangladesh last year, and the leader was found that the former prime minister has used security force, and also is responsible, or is responsible, for the death of over 1,400 people. And no, it's quite the news to look into. Because look at the 78-year-old former Prime Minister. It was indicated that was found guilty of crimes against humanity. And it's quite rare, especially to see a woman who is prosecuted over such an incident. But it's not the first time a leader, it's not the first time a leader being, you know, prosecuted in absentia. It's also not the first time somebody after power being sentenced to death. It's also happened there in DRC, where the military tribunal in DRC has also sentenced Joseph Kabila, the former president, sentenced him to death, but that is in absentia. It's quite news to look into, but for now, let us look at this news and move forward.
Funeral has been ongoing for the last couple of hours.
Welcome to the Global News.
Funeral has been ongoing for the last couple of hours. It's just finished reading the verdict. It was hundreds of pages long. Here is the moment, though, that the former Prime Minister, Sheikh Hasina, was sentenced to death.
For all these three counts, we have decided to inflict her with only one sentence, that is sentence of death.
So that was the moment there of sentencing. We can cross now. We have our correspondence.
Yeah, that is what's happening. That's what's happening. And it's quite news to look into. When you look at a situation such as, you know, a leader being sentenced to death in absentia, you know, you're also asking yourself a question to say what the world has turned into, what the world has turned into, and also can also compare it, with what is happening, around, you know, Africa. And many other countries, because, you know, peace, security, and also strengthening of state institution must be a priority of everybody. But when you see a trend of leaders being sentenced to death, it's also a matter of questioning, to say, how are things going to be, especially in Bangladesh, moving forward? Or is it a presidency which is being set to deter others, not to continue using security forces, you know, to score or to maintain their political power. But, on the other side, when you are here in, let us look at, Madagascar. Because it was stated that, the new leader of Madagascar, after a month of being sworn in as a president of the foundation, that is Michael Radrianirina, made you know, first address of the nation, and also given some of the roadmap or the plan on first national address. It's quite interesting to see military men now wearing a suit to take over from you know, Rajorine, who is you know, rumored to be in France, especially after he was taken from power. But the new leader of Madagascar hit the ground running by tabling the roadmap of Madagascar, what need to be done, and what are some of the things that he is proposing, particularly after he was sworn in. It's the first nation address, or is the first address to the nation as the president of Madagascar. As you see and you understand that there is change of power, in Madagascar after the president was forced by, you know, the protest of Generation Z to leave the state, and also was erifted out of the country. And the question we've been asking to say, where did he go with Sadek instrument of power? Sadek instrument of power, because like we are speaking now, you don't know who is the chairperson of Sadek politically, but let us think also the structure of Sadek that was made to that extent that even if one of the head of the organs of Sadek is out, there is other chairperson who can take over and lead, because you have a political head, you have also heads of Sadek organs of the institution, such as organs of politics, defense and security, and many others. But let us look at this news before we come to the main conversation today.
Nearly a month after being sworn in as Madagascar's so-called president of Refoundation, Michael Nanjanarine made his highly anticipated address to the nation. It's the first address from the colonel who rose to power after weeks of tension and youth-led demonstrations. Nanjanarine firmly rejects claims that the fall of his predecessor, Andre Azuel, was a coup, insisting no violence occurred. Responding to accusations of judicial revenge against the former regime, he was blunt. Investigations are the work of justice, not vengeance, and he vowed to pursue those who plundered the country. Laying out Madagascar's roadmap, he announced a nationwide consultation to build a new governance system, followed by a referendum and a presidential election within 2 years. He's also promised a new youth assembly and a stronger place for Malagasy language and history in schools.
Yeah, that is what is happening, particularly in Madagascar. For now, let us look at a short commercial break. Then we can shortly look at the issue of visa. Issue of visa. We understand that, there are new reforms there in UK. New reforms in UK, especially when it comes to visa. And, UK is very specific, particularly when it comes to those who should be given an opportunity to have opportunity to enter the country, and also look at those countries who were pointed out, including Namibia. But for now, let us look at a short commercial break, then we look at the issue of visa and move forward.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune odo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe mbali hea li nola natu hea li bali no hea ile ko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you...
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? It's a very golden question. That why do you give somebody an opportunity and he or she does not have capacity to deliver on the deliverables? Because when you look at the situation now, there's always been. There is no luxury of time, especially when it comes to what needs to be done to take Namibia to a next level in terms of development, in terms of expanding of the economy, instead of in the area of making sure that the regulations are proper, regulations are friendly to business operation, and the regulations are making it very easier for human development to be achieved. And I was looking at the news, and I've seen the president of Namibia so frustrated. He's frustrated by the legislative process that politicians in the August House are delaying the reform of laws, reviewing of laws. Say no law was passed yet, just a debate. And you see, and looking at the presidency, somebody who has also been very clear about the independence of organs of the state. Now she stated that no, this cannot be, because lawmakers, they are not making laws, but they are busy debating. It also ask about, what are kind of debates which are being presented. Are these debates necessary or just asking of questions? And also if you ask any parliamentarian today to say, since, you were sworn in, how many laws have you passed? Particularly those who you were complaining about, these legal, these colonial laws, you find politicians speaking a very good language of saying there are colonial laws that we need to reform to make sure that we take care of our people. But now, looking at how things are now, it's like things are not moving there at August House. That's why you see even the president herself is very frustrated, because all parties deployed, women and men there, who are entrusted to make laws for Namibians, but it's like there is a delay in the process. But you're asking a question to say, who is suffering if politicians, if lawmakers, are not doing anything, or they are busy debating, but they are not passing laws? Because Parliament is already on leave, and will only resume next year by February there. But when you are ever waiting, you are putting on the scale, compare with other parliaments, or you ask yourself to say, in terms of lawmaking, how many of laws were passed, and what efforts have been put in place to make sure that Namibians are taken care of, or those who voted, us who voted to say our votes were counted, and also those who are representing us at August House, especially every parliamentarian is representing everybody. Because when you are a lawmaker, you are making laws for everybody. But the question is that, what have you done? What have you done since you were sworn in Parliament? Were you just debating? Were we just debating? Or is a matter of killing time? Why an ordinary person on the ground is suffering? Yeah, looking at the issue of visa. Get the issue of visa. And visa, in a simple definition, is an endorsement on the passport. It's an endorsement on the passport that, allow you to enter or leave a country for a certain period of time. But it was stated that, the United Kingdom is concerned the UK is threatening to restrict visas for nationals from three African countries, and also accused these countries of not cooperating with, you know, deportation of illegal immigrants. Now, the Home Secretary of Britain, that is Shabana Mahmood, is giving Angola, Namibia, and the Democratic Republic of Congo 1 month to improve the situation before she blocks all tourist and VIP visas. She warned the policy could be extended to other countries with high rates of asylum claims from the people who enter Britain illegally. You know, what does this mean? It means that there are a lot of Namibians in the UK who are seeking for asylums. There are a lot of illegal immigrants in the UK who are seeking for asylum, who are also seeking for citizenship in the UK. And in most cases, they go with different views, different ideological thinking. And there have been reports to say some of the people from certain group were threatened. But this can also put us into trouble. It's not only going to put Namibia into trouble in terms of ordinary people, even VIP visas. The Home Secretary, that is Shabana Mahmood, is giving us 1 month to put our house in order, because it's only Namibia, it's only Angola and DRC. But a lot of people that you see in UK, Namibians you see in UK, you must also ask yourself to say, what purpose did they go to UK with? Is the purpose genuine, or they are those who are going with aim of saying, no, we are being prosecuted in Namibia, we are being persecuted in DRC or Angola, we are seeking for asylum. And in a general term of immigrants, United Kingdom, Britain has been, vocal about immigrants, because people, Africans, every year, Africans are moving outside Africa, either to go to the Middle East, either to go to Europe, to the EU, and the debate of immigrants has been at the center of the politics of Britain, and was one of the reasons Britain exited EU. And it has been at the center because if you look at the records, how many Africans are leaving Africa every year, moving to UK, you will also be able to see and realize to say it's not easy out there, and it's also very difficult also for other government also not to prioritize their people. And the question you should ask is to say, why are you leaving? Why are you leaving your continent? Why are you leaving your continent? And also, what are you doing there? And there have been also reports to say some of the Africans who find themselves in either in the UK, in the Middle East, they end up not getting the jobs that they thought they would get, and they also end up being not treated the way they thought they would be treated. And there are a lot of cases that have been reported where people are also calling at home to say, guys, do a sumin, contribute so that I can be brought back home, because the situation here is not what I thought it would be. You know, when you look at the statistics, stated that in 2023, approximately over 146,000 illegal border crossing from Africa to Europe and the Gulf countries. And in 2025, irregular border crossing via the Eastern Mediterranean route to the EU were down 35% from the previous year. In summary, although there is no exact number of immigrants, which is very hard to pinpoint, you know, in average over 150,000 in average Africans are living, and these are illegal immigrants. People are dying there in the Mediterranean Sea. And the mode of transportation of these illegal immigrants is also concerning. That's why it's a point of debate in Namibia, in Angola, in DRC, and also in the UK. Because the Home Secretary said, no, there's a lot of Namibians here. There's a lot of Namibians. And you have to get this. My message to foreign governments today is clear. Accept the return of your nationals or you will lose privilege of being able to enter our country. Mahmoud said in the statement. And, in a few months to come, you will see some people being deported. See some people being deported back at home because the situation in the UK when it's coming to illegal immigrants, is worsening. And remember, these people, they also require service, they require food, they require medication, and, countries run on social, grant or country run on social welfare will not be sustainable. That's why UK is coming up with this message. So, let us look at this news and, look at the conversation for today.
The United Kingdom is threatening to restrict visas for nationals from three African countries that it's accused of not cooperating with the deportation of illegal immigrants.
I think we've made progress.
British Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood is giving Angola, Namibia and the Democratic Republic of the Congo 1 month to improve the situation before she blocks all tourist and VIP visas. She's warned the policy could be extended to other countries with high rates of asylum claims from people who enter Britain legally. Mahmoud is presenting her sweeping immigration reform package to Parliament on Monday. Other proposed changes include increasing the time asylum seekers must wait before settling permanently in the UK to 20 years, up from the current 5 years. Their situation will be reviewed every 2.5 years to assess whether or not it's safe for them to return home.
Yeah. That is, what is happening. That is what's happening, especially from that side of UK. Say, put your house in order. Put your house in order. Otherwise, your VIPs will also be restricted to enter the UK. That is a message to Namibia. It's a message to Angola. It's a message to Democratic Republic of Congo. Because it's like, our cousin, our sisters and brothers there in UK. There are a lot. There are a lot. The question is, why are you running? Why are you running? Why are you leaving your motherland? Why are you leaving your motherland? And, who is prosecuting you? And, also, for how long are you going to be outside your motherland? And yeah, let's look at the corner and, see what is the situation on the other side. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
What is your point?
I just want maybe to comment on the issue of the visa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a sad moment, but it must also send us to the reality.
Yeah.
That we are not really doing much to create opportunity back home. So that the people also remain in the country and to start living in the country also. It's not too bad that they are going.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're also going to, there are a lot of advantages. They are there. The skills they are getting there.
Yeah.
Some also foreign, like currency, they are also bringing in the country when they are sending this money back home.
Yeah.
But we need that to see, just to balance it.
Yeah.
And when you are also talking about that one, we must not talk about this immigration without also the concern, the rural urban migration also. Urban migration. Only that one is taking place at the national level, but at the regional also. That one also need to be looked at. Because you always see, to say, back then, it was an issue of slaves. We are complaining about slavery.
Yeah.
People were taken here. Remember, those that were taken, they were not just ordinary people. Some were doctors, some were like teachers, you know, artisans, engineers, you know? And these are the people who went there and tried to build the economy in those countries. But we complain about it.
Yeah.
Now, when he had independence.
Mm.
Now, slavery just changed the shape, but it's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now the slave is, now the slave is driving himself to the master.
Now people are testing themselves there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And have you done or have you got any information about the kind of job that some of these illegal immigrants end up doing?
No, sir. Maybe I don't know. and maybe this is the thing that we need to look at it at academic level.
Uh-huh.
Because what I have seen in this country,
yeah,
we are not really doing research. Eh? Academic research about some of these things, because to us,
yeah,
we think it's a small issues. But just a simple reason why they are going there and what they are doing there, and you know how much they are contributing back home and all that. It's very important.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that issue of academic research is really important, because you may think like what you have stated, you think it's a small thing, but if you calculate what is their contributing, what skills do they have? Why are they leaving? Why somebody is leaving the country? Because it must also take somebody to think this thing through, to say, I'm going through this kabod. If it's drown, it's drown. But if I reach Europe, maybe I can come back with something, or I'm going there forever. It's really something that requires a clear assessment.
Yeah.
The,
you know, I think maybe we just need to see. Even at the minister level there, most of the ministry has no research department.
No, they must have. They need to have research, especially Home Affairs. Yeah,
they can have a research department that deal with the research only.
I only see few.
And this is where now you put a linkage between the academic institution and the public institution. Because if you have a country, which cannot say, no, these are the issues that we are facing as a country.
Now
you say, how now are we going to resolve this problem?
Yeah.
You need students. You need, you know, even those that are in work to conduct research. Therefore, that's why you say sometimes, even kids, during our school days in the university.
Yeah.
We just take our own, you know, topics. But if the country itself does not have to say, look, these are the issues, maybe can the academic institution look at this, some of these issues?
Can the ministry also take issues to academic institution to say, guys, we have this problem. Which field are we taking into? Is it development studies? Is it politics? Is it international relations? Can you guys focus on this topic at least, or we can fund and focus on this topic so we can get this result? Then we can see how we can move forward.
That's for me, when I learned, when I was doing it, my master's, you know, China was also at the time was also doing some, has gone through a lot of reform program, reform. Eh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now when they were now trying to reform their department, they were trying to see, because Chinese, they always used to get the local flavor and also to get the international flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they want now to reform the public institution department and like.
Yeah.
So they are using also students abroad to assist them.
Mm-hmm.
Reform, for instance, in Britain, 1930, what has happened? What were they considered?
Uh-huh.
They also use, like, they are students in America. There.
Mm-hmm.
They are also, because they are everywhere.
No, they're everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way to say, look, now, they are using their national abroad, né, to conduct research there, so that they can inform, né? This is how they do. Even them here also, they are also conducting their own research on similar, but how reform has been taking place over the years also. Now they see now
and which one. Yeah. And they are ahead of their time.
They are ahead of their time. That's why I wanted to say, look, we, for instance, like when you, for instance, were going to school abroad, you know, you were even at 2 or 3 Namibian in the same university. They, at the end of the day, you were not obliged to say, look, you three in that university, you must conduct a combined research, you know?
There's nothing like that.
Even when you do a research, nobody's care about what you're doing.
No, and I think we are on the same page, because I spoke about these things to say most of academic research that we do, we are doing research to acquire qualification, but we are not really motivated to say what is the productivity of this research and who is guiding me. Even your supervisor just want to get rid of you.
because you are making research to pass.
That is a problem.
They are not really used to what? To alleviate the problem that is on the ground. That's why when you even go in the internet trying to do research, like you wanted to see the view of Libyans on the same topic. You actually find it. Why? Because the Libyans, those research that you were conducted by the Libyans, they are substandard.
It's for passing.
It's for passing. It's not academic. It's not like for, you know, institutional use.
So you
hardly find in Namibia. That's why I said this institution of research, where it was at the time also headed by Chama Chivukwa. There is another institution in Namibia about the research or something.
Oh yeah, there is a Namibia economic research something. I think Tengne. Oh, this one, the one which is headed by Professor Anisha Pieters.
Yeah, but we are seeing now.
Yeah.
We can ask politics, ask UNAM. All research that were conducted by the student over there, where are they?
No, they are there.
Where are they?
No, you will be.
They are not at that institution. They are not at that institution.
And they are not expanded also.
Because we are saying, now after the students were done, they just throw away the thing.
It's true. It's like
your question paper. Once you are done, and what happened to it?
No, you just throw it away.
They just throw it away. But these are the research. That's what I say. You guys now, you want apparently the country to develop going where?
No.
That's why we need a local flavor. The local knowledge, the local flavor is not there. That's why when you people write it, research, you say according to who, according to who. Is that the research?
It's referencing.
you're just reporting. You become like a newspaper media reporter.
It's not what the data are saying from the field.
Now, according to who was on the ground. Then now you wanted to say you pass what?
No, but look, maybe, but that is a smaller portion of it to say a desktop research must always be supported by the field research. But some people, they can allow you to get away with it just to look at the data and compare them, and you are done. No, the institution that you are speaking about is National Commission for Research, Science and Technology. No, I remember at one point Professor Anisha Pieters was speaking at NIP, and they spoke about, no, there is less money being given by government to promote research in Namibia. Even when you look at the laboratories, most of them, even at any university, most of them are not recognized internationally. And it's a sad news to a country like Namibia also.
That's why I was very shocked. To find out when COVID comes, as a country, we were not at a position to do testing in the country.
No, but you must also think, is it UNAM or NAS? The one institution which came up with the sanitizers, maybe that is the only thing that we can.
I was shocked as a country, as a citizen.
Yeah.
At the end of the whole country, COVID, we were never able to test the same result to South Africa.
Come again?
Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben ganz neue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnementplänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Bargain Hunters, you save has slash prices on groceries, treats, fresh fruit, and veggies. 2 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 89.99 Namibian dollars. 5 kilos champion square maize meal, just 56.99 Namibian dollars. And pay just 19.99 for each of the following. 700 milliliter crystal gold tomato sauce, 1 liter clover full cream milk, and 200 grams of champion hunters polony. Save big at you save.
Yes.
I was saying, you know, when COVID comes, they test people to find whether you are COVID or not. They have to send the result to the laboratories. But that time, the result has to be sent to South Africa. Then they tell you whether it's positive or negative.
Now,
then I say no. Something is totally wrong here. And you are saying you are independent from South Africa. How?
How?
Where is independence there?
No,
let's talk about the peg, the Namibia dollar, which is back to the, that's just a look, we are not.
No, we are not.
Because when we are talking about independence, we need to understand. Independence is just a word.
But you know, I have a question before we go forward to say, what is really that have we started? Because have we started doing something? Because I was watching news yesterday, not necessarily on COVID, but when the president is also not happy about lawmaking processes, to say things are stuck because we are not moving, because there are people who are not doing anything. But have we really started to move toward what you said we are going to achieve it, like NDP6, or we are still just a talking stage?
That's why I say this thing. Just, you know, the theory part.
Yeah.
If we go to school.
Yeah.
Then we also do research just to pass, even again, just writing to pass. Now, even when you go back in employment and in industry, public service, still the same. Because they're just pushing paper. You understand? That's why you even the some artisans that are in the ministry, wherever you go, they are not doing anything. Their work has to be outsourced. They're not doing anything. Now, this is the problem that we have. It's a fundamental problem. It's a structural, it's an institutional problem that we need to relook at. There is also something wrong here. If you find that now, you know, the government have a ladder system.
A ladder?
Or a ladder system in terms of promotion, like,
you cannot jump ranks.
You cannot jump ranks.
But
you know what thing was used. It was used because at the independent people were not needy, educated, and a lot of people doesn't have qualification or something. Now, also to allow an easily enter most.
Okay.
Some of the people who came from exactly they have qualification, but they don't have experience. They were just in those positions like that. Now, thereafter, when now the people start getting qualification and what.
Yeah.
Now they say, no, because the system is requiring qualification now.
Yeah.
They put a system to protect those who came in without qualification.
Because they don't want you to just drive from the back and becoming a director tomorrow.
You never realize that. The things are changing now. There are a lot of people with qualification now.
Yeah.
Now if you are, you can no longer. You are still continue with the radar system.
And it can also delay you, because it can also delay you if you are able to bring about institutional change. Some people, they also get frustrated.
Have you realized that there are a lot of people with bachelors, but they're just like, the other time when you were saying to them, do you think
issuing
a best educated officer?
Come again?
A person who reissue a best educated.
Yeah.
Do you think that person needs a bachelor?
No, you don't need any. You don't.
You cannot employ a person with a bachelor to issue best certificate.
No, you are wasting even the resources and.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I was just of VDP, you know, some of us we are involved in the recruitment.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, look, the person has even a master's.
Yeah.
But he cannot move. To the high position because of the
apprentice experience. No, that is where the problem is, because like you have stated, some people, they get frustrated. And these are the people who are supposed to bring institutional change, and somebody who,
Now you're saying, because I think deep in my head, say, look, man, something needs to be changed. To say, look, if a person has a bachelor, he needs to start at a certain level. You must qualify automatically at a certain level.
Yeah.
Even, you know, in the public service, you say, look, even at the control level, 36, because that one is kind of a supervisor. You know why? Because that person, it will not take him like 3 years or year to understand what is going on.
Indeed.
Because of the level of training the person has.
Yeah.
But if you appoint the person with the background, the person. This person start at the beginning. Why? Because he need to understand gradually because of that. But if you take the person with the bachelor, you already know. You're only with him. Even us when we enter a job market, it never even take you 3 months. You understand already the whole process.
And what is that now that need to be done? Because I know the friend of mine whose name is not going to be mentioned. He went to he was at one point in Russia. You know he joined the military. Then he got this special training and all this. He was educated, became an engineer within the military. Then apparently the time of promotion, the comrades, they said no, wait. But this was the person who was supposed to, because through the in terms of rank and experience, he was supposed to be already a senior, but he cannot become a senior because there are things that you need to follow, because somebody came from exile, he was in the field, although he did not upgrade himself, it's going to be difficult to control that person, and he will not be happy being under you. You are just a born free, and you were just, taking...
That's where we are getting wrong.
Yeah.
That's why we say, when they come in,
there
was no radar system.
Mm-hmm.
They were just put there and they start learning.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them even have to learn with difficulty
because
of the level of education they have.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but I will tell you to say, look, there is a difference between, because if you have your bachelor now, or master degree or something, and then you become, this is a director, you understand?
Yeah.
It will never take you 3 months or years to understand what's going on.
Indeed.
Imagine some of the people like,
and you can even become creative, especially in the changing world, to change the most of the things in the system.
At the level where you are, it's more of a, like it's a knowledge of a global thing. And this knowledge you already have it in the service book, where in the school when you're doing it.
Yeah.
But now this person has no clue. There is a gap, my friend. For no longer.
No, I.
There is something need to be done here.
Yeah.
We need to repeat to say all the people who are graduated at the bachelor level, they must start, you know, automatically. They'll automatically qualify even to the control level. And we cannot ask them any experience or something. Automatically they qualify. They qualify at that level already. Because if you are not going to remove this thing, we are going to advantage. You know, the person does not have experience, this whatever experience is there, this person is just going to learn it within 2 months.
Yeah, and it's also going to, you know, because our public sector now is suffocating. Either is incompetency, either is people are stuck. You find people are playing cards in office because the job is too easy, and there is no promotion coming in, and all those things. And those
and we also need to understand the job the person is performing, the quality that what you need.
Yeah,
a person who is giving best certificate or best certificate.
Yeah.
We only need to have a grade 10 of them, as long as the person know how to read and write.
It's done.
Because you already give a checklist to say, for you to issue a birth certificate, the person must have this full birth certificate of the parent, like that.
You cannot put an academician there.
No, you cannot put an academician. That's why even the bank.
Yeah.
You know why the bank recruit or the teller, all this, you know?
No, then you are giving a very good example. Yeah, just continue.
Why they are only like to give to recruit people with grade 12 or grade 10?
Bank tellers. I used to think they have a lot of qualifications those days. No, I used to think.
No.
I understand. I know now. Yeah.
It's already decided. You don't need to use any knowledge. You don't need to be creative of anything.
Just know to calculate.
There is a checklist designed for you.
The system is already there.
When you go to him at the teller, they are already told, no, the person must give you the ID.
Put in the number,
Then you put the number like 2222.
Then you press the amount, then you are done. I think the private sector is more advanced when it comes to the workforce.
I have realized to say that's why a lot of academics are unemployed because there are two things there. At the private sector, they don't want to recruit them because they could be expensive. Some of them will just take this offer simply because they have no choice, but their mind is going to be sit over.
The
number two is the experience that we are requiring them in a public service. Just for them to apparently they must have a certain, but I'm telling you, that experience, you are going to recycle the same rotten apple over and over and over. And this is a danger I have seen also in the Rocker Authority. That at the position of the chief executive officer, we find out that we are just rotating the same rotten apple from this Rocker Authority to this, failing this.
I'm seeing there are some new blood there coming in. Not all.
When you are suggesting to say, look, we no longer need, because, there are only two things when you are shortlisting. To say no, you need a qualification and a yes of experience.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you are saying, now, which one comes first? Is it the qualification or the
experience?
Now you are saying, no, let's have, I always take a preference to say, look, let's see the qualification. Because a person has the experience of 20 years with a diploma in the system. You understand? But this person never has a new knowledge about what is going on. He just go with the flow. But you find out, which I know, some people took, like, for instance, those who have qualification, they have no experience. But they have no knowledge, they have everything.
They have new innovation, they know digital governance and all those things.
They know all the things. Yeah. Now you end up not shortlisting.
Okay, let's go to a commercial break, then we'll conclude.
As we head to the polls on 26 November 2025 to elect our representatives as regional and local authority councillors, you have to be present to be represented. Your voice can only count if you put it in the ballot box. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Yes, let us... That's good. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying now, to say, look, that's why you find that, no, something is wrong. Because even to say, even at a village cast 11, the CEO, you know, the salary is very slow, it's small.
Yeah.
You're acting a person apparently with a manager experience.
Now,
where are you going to, now people with the graduate, ne?
Yeah.
You cannot employ them.
Yeah.
Or even those that were also in the at the lower position there, whether it's a minister or whatever, you cannot take
them. You cannot take them. Yeah.
Manager experience.
Yeah.
Now, you are left with who? You are only left with the people who have been in the system
for a long time.
And you have now to relocate them. Then that's why I said, look, let's sometimes be very clear here to say, look, all this position of village council here.
Yeah.
Let's say to say, look, you just need an academic person at the bachelor level.
Yeah.
Because this person is a trainable, you understand very, very, very
quickly. Yeah.
When you go even in parliament, to say, when you take up the academic people in parliament, they are easily able to understand these things very fast.
You know how things are stuck now. You take everybody there. How can a professor argue with somebody who has a grade 7 certificate? How are laws need to be made?
that's what we
are in the same committee. Yeah.
that's the mathematics.
Yeah.
That we are saying.
It's improper fraction, that one.
It's improper fraction.
Okay.
Saying,
yeah.
There are people who are trainable and untrainable, but depending on them, on the pace.
Yeah.
Training an academic person to understand things. It's not the same as you are training a grade 12 person or a person with a degree. No, that's a totally get there.
Yeah.
So that's why you're saying, look, and some people are also willing because the normal class, the tortures they take you through during your academic, it's more.
Yeah,
I remember. In another level, you should, like every day,
you cry.
You are going to sleep at what, one or two?
Because
you have four subjects.
Yeah.
You all have assignment, group assignment, individual assignment, presentation, and everything, and you need to read. That's why you have to read a lot of books.
Yeah.
In one module, they said every day when you go to class, you know what those guys did?
Mm-hmm.
They give you 6 books to read. Out of that, they say, no, you have 6. These are the topic. You choose 2.
Yeah.
Then you summarize the book.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
You have to summarize the book.
Yeah.
2 books out of 6.
Yeah.
But tomorrow you have to hand it in. Not tomorrow. You have to hand it in that. It has turning online almost. For you to summarize 2, meaning you have to read 4. Because you have to find out that which one is the easiest.
Yeah, you must find the way.
you have to find out which books is easy to summarize or which one is easy to understand.
No, I hear you. But I think the issue of public sector and the issue of accommodating those who are outside, because statistics, when you look at NSA, when you look at international labor experts from ILO, what they are saying is that in Namibia, as you are speaking, more than 70% of the people who are in public sector are those who are less educated, and the majority of the qualified people are outside. Yeah, they're in the street. These are our director, our EDs are in the street. And the question you are only asking to say, because when you have this gap now, in the next 10 years, who is going to lead when, this one also retire. Because if you have a gap, it will require you a reform again, because you need to make sure that everybody's in the public sector.
That's right. Yeah. The other time we were having to say, look,
yeah,
that's why every student in a university,
yeah,
he needs to be taught about public policy.
Yeah.
You need to be taught about policy, because public policy, you need to learn how laws are made
everywhere,
so that you can contribute on the field of study where you are studying.
Yeah.
If
you're
studying agriculture, there are also policy about the agriculture.
Yeah.
Because you can become a minister. That's why you find the people coming in the public sector, even go to parliament.
Yeah.
But because if you are not taught public, if you are not taught public management a bit,
yeah,
and maybe business, you hardly be taught how
to make laws.
No,
they are making mistakes.
If you did not study law,
yeah,
or public management, maybe was like, and we don't have a public policy as a course.
Mm-hmm.
You go to UNAMA, there you go to policy. There's no such a thing.
No, now it's there.
No, I know it is at what time? I am.
Yeah.
But there is a subject, and there is a course, like you say, public management. Then you have those subjects under that.
Yeah, they only have it. I think they only have it at the postgraduate level, masters and the postgraduate, but not at the degree.
That is the problem that we are having now.
Yeah.
When I was doing public management, I was taught public policy analysis.
Yeah.
As a subject.
Yeah.
Under the course that I'm doing.
But it's a degree is not there, but other countries, they have public policy, social policy, and other.
The good thing to say, that's why the majority of the people, academic, they don't understand. They don't even want to participate in the public policy issues. Why? They have no knowledge, and they don't have interest, because there's no knowledge of it.
No, I hear you. So
they should be made.
Yeah.
Taught at a level. Mm. How laws are being made.
Yeah.
All the students, and you have a course.
Mm.
A course that about public policy.
Mm.
Because public policy has a course, now you are going to be taught everything. Now, if you are doing, for instance, like economics,
yeah,
you are going to be taught about
economic policies.
Public policy about economics. That's it. But this is what we don't have. And we are continue building school.
Yeah.
And we are continuing funding education.
Yeah.
And we will continue, saying education is a big equalizer, it's a big key.
Even following policies themselves that we make, because if you look at you are speaking about administrative law. If you look at how many cases the government have lost and how much money was used, how many times the government have paid in the High Court or when it was sued, you're also asking yourself to say sometime even if. There was a time where the former Minister of Justice lost the case against the lawyer. Then I asked myself to say, really? But that is a debate of another day.
That's what I said.
If you
bring it down, you say, every person needs to be taught administrative law.
Yeah.
You need, because administrative is a law.
Yeah.
You cannot, because there are only two things that are important.
Yeah.
In the every sector or everywhere in every institution.
Yeah.
Administration and management.
Yeah.
Administration is the law.
Mm-hmm.
Management is the factor of production. You understand?
Yeah.
Time, people, labor, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Now the law that apply how to use the factor of production.
Mm-hmm.
Administration is the law that applied to the factor of production to say, look, as a human, you have to be paid how much, you have to come to this time and what, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do, you have to do this. That's how the causality now between administration and management. You see?
Yeah. So
you only have two things fundamentally in any institution. Administer the law and the factor production. Tell which how things have to be paid.
I hear you. So let us give opportunity to to the caller, and we can continue with the conversation. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for the contribution. So it's important, especially when we look at what are some of the things which are making it difficult for us to reach where we are. We spoke on the issue of immigration, issue of, you know, illegal immigrants. And the caller has made it very clear to say public sector must cooperate with academic institutions to solve their problems. There was a time I was at, I think, UNAM library. I was reading it, you know, this MBA thesis and dissertations, and quite very interesting, you know, research, but the practicality of it, the challenges of, for example, the SOEs. You're asking yourself to say, is this an academic research just for somebody to pass, or is it an academic research that can really change? Because all the MBA holders, they research about either it's public sector, either it's private sector. But the question is that why things are not moving. So why can't the Ministry of Home Affairs speak with academic institutions, international relations department, or political science, or administrative law, or international law, to say, why are my people leaving the country? Why do I have a challenge? A small country like Namibia, I have a challenge in the UK. People are seeking asylum. Is there something wrong that we need to do? Let us get the caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, how are you?
Thank you. How are you?
Good. The morning is fine. Your side?
Are you don't capture our criminal justice system?
Come again?
Do not capture our criminal justice system.
No. We are not captured yet.
Yeah, there was a point that it comes up in your discussion.
Okay.
Then I just wanted to link it to this discussion, but I don't know why it skipped my mind. Maybe it's because the conversation was too long.
Oh, okay.
That's most of the important points. Maybe it will come up.
Yeah.
The issue with Nigeria. These things, abducting of the children.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one of the main reasons why Trump wants to come in there.
Okay.
To dismantle those bandits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that way, I really support, because all along, especially the northern Nigeria, has never been the security has been questionable all those years.
Yeah.
And if it, the Nigerian government is unable to deal with that, then who else can able to say to have those people protected?
You think the U.S. can come and solve issues in Nigeria?
If Nigerians and African cannot solve those issues,
why did it take them 10 years to come closer to Bin Laden? Because the argument is always here to say, is always, you know, the internal problems, it's easy for you to solve internal problems because you understand them better. Somebody who come from outside need to understand your geographical area, need to understand the language and all these things. But why can't Africans solve their own problems?
There are a lot, yes, because you are inactive. You are indecision to do that. And if you cannot do that, you can always get assistance from anywhere.
No,
remember, it also took some time.
Yeah.
To shut out. Remember, there was also, South Africa also went there sometimes, those missionaries.
Yeah.
There was a time that they went there, and during those, Zabok that you are talking about, I don't know before that.
Yeah.
But maybe this is now the way of getting it. And remember, Trump, presidency, is the one that really want to stitch peace in the whole world.
Mm.
And I think anybody can support that. You see, you know that you speak the language, you also have that thing. People can also be trained to speak the language. You also have informants there. You might also have intelligence there. Mm. And there are a lot of Nigerians who are in South Africa. Mm-hmm. I mean, not in South Africa, but also in America.
But in have you thought of arms trade? Have you thought of who is empowering this, this militia? Because it's not only Boko Haram. There's a lot of militia group who is empowering them. Because you'll be surprised that the guns that they have or the equipment that they have are made from somebody who you want assistance from. Because at the end of the day, somebody have asked to say, why do we have a lot of AK-47 in the hands of criminals? And who is supplying this? No. Who is supplying this? It's not only AK-47. The question is that there is somebody who is benefiting from the conflict. It matters.
Doesn't matter whoever is supplying those things, you are supplying them to kill people. So it's whether they are coming from either side,
yeah.
All we are saying is that the people are being killed, are being abducted.
Yeah.
They are even being converted in Islamic. Maybe that's why Trump is saying that it's mostly, I'm not saying these things are religious motivated, kind of. So if they are like that, and remember, like I say, when we were studying in Nigeria there,
yeah,
most of the conflicts that do happen there, it's about religious motivated conflict.
Mm.
And it's majorly the Muslims who attack the Christians.
Okay.
And if you follow the history, even from the time I was there,
mm-hmm.
so many times, those schools in the northern part, Kaduna, all those Maiduguris and things like that,
mm-hmm.
you hear Christians running. Their church are being burned. Now, you can also hear mosques and being banned. But mainly, the target is made against the Christian.
Okay.
It is a religious kind of motivated thing. Whether they are using guns from AK-47 or whatever.
What if they are using gun from the Western?
Whether you are using it from the West, I say, it doesn't matter where the guns come from.
Mm-hmm.
They are there to kill people. There are also private industries who also manufacturing those guns and they are sending them.
Mm-hmm.
And then to kill people. Whether they are coming from wherever is immaterial for now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we also need to deal with the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
Who is supplying the guns and all these other things. But they are supplying the guns to kill people, to innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things need to be stopped. So now that I cannot remember what your point, because it has to do with legal issue,
mm-hmm.
I think I will remember next time, so that because it was in line with this thing. So let me remember. Research.
Yeah.
Research. There are documents, like you said, documents that people have done research. They are all there. There are even those ones that are well approved. You go there and look at them, the academic journals. They are all there, whether it's from legal perspective or from all other disciplines. They are there.
How many,
you don't make use of them.
How many of them are useful? Because the caller did not argue that they are not documented. The caller argued that...
I'm not talking about the caller. I'm just saying that the research are there. You also mentioned that research that are documented are there. You can also come up with other areas.
We are on the same page. We are on the same mm-hmm. page. The problem is here to say you... completing a master's, then you get a dissertation or you get you complete your PhD. It's one thing to fulfill an academic requirement. It's another thing to come up with a tangible research that can be used on the ground. Because there's a difference, because you can do a desktop research, you analyze your data very well, you pass, you get you become an academician. But the question is that how many of academic can do an industrial research to say now, you are a lawyer, you are a, let me say, a professor of international law, or you are a professor of international relations, then you have a small country like Namibia, where you have you are bringing, you have a lot of asylum seekers than many other countries in Africa, so that you even brought to the point of a home secretary to say, guys, put your house in order. Why can't you make an industry, a field research to ask, why are Africans leaving? Why are Namibians leaving, for example? How many Namibians are from a certain group? What motivated them? Is it the economy? Is it the issue of are they persecuted, as it has been stated? Or is it the issue of is it academic, or is it the situation at home? But if you, that's why there's a big difference between an academic research and and the research to solve a problem.
Yes, even academic research, the purpose, the three main purpose of research is to solve societal problems, in addition to the knowledge base and many others. So in your case, when, for example, if you have to relate to the people who are flocking to going to, let's say, to America, maybe it's not about political refugees, or maybe it's economic refugee, I can understand. Or maybe even those people who are there, going there, they are claiming that they are because of their asylum, the asylum seeker.
Yeah, why?
When those countries are, they know already that there's no political, political persecution here, for example.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a religious kind of conflict, as in, like in Nigeria. So those are just going there. Maybe they just, and they, you know, the kind of work they do there. Many times.
No, the question is not what they are just going. The question is, do we have data why they are leaving?
Data are there. Just go and analyze them, interpret them.
From where?
And translate them into.
Where?
Go to your university. Go to university or all those institutions. They have done research.
No, I think last month
I was listening to a paper presented by International Management, what? That's it, at Dr. Namwandi's institution. So last month they were even presenting some of the findings there.
Findings regarding illegal immigrants.
You might not be that one. Illegal immigration is also happening even in our country here.
No, the thing is we look at the problem, we deal with it on point. Yeah,
we know already that the people who are immigrating to Europe, you might not even need to just do a desk research. If they are claiming that they are going there because of persecution, is there persecution in Namibia?
No.
Or is it just a political persecution in Namibia? They are just going there maybe for economic refugee, they are, on the basis of economic refugee. But even when they get there, somebody who has got a degree in law and is going to take care of to look after the pigs, cutting
we are not agreeing, but it's fine. Where we are not agreeing.
Yeah, we don't agree.
Is the fact that you want to make a policy decision, or you want to make an intervention based on they are just doing what, but there is no clear data. That's why we are saying, was there any research that?
Go to University of Namibia.
When I go to University of Namibia, I go academic journal written by who?
By our student.
Which student? Which field?
You can go into the law. You can go into leadership.
No. We want to solve the problem now, because Namibia is given 1 month to put the house in order. It's not a matter of go and guess. But we go where?
No, we go and get the document.
Where are the documents?
UN library.
But who wrote that document? Maybe we can guide
Namibian.
Somebody. Who? Which field?
Even me, I've written a document. If you go there, you look for the document that's written when I was doing the research in leadership and management.
But there are many. But is a document on Iriga immigrants.
So there are also those who are written on illegal immigration.
Okay.
So if you go there, you stop your thing, you get them there.
Okay, thank you.
Some of them might not be written by Namibian, by maybe African Academia.
No. That one we understand, but...
Okay, go and check the ones that are written by Namibian.
Okay.
Even in your... Yeah, I think I've seen one time, maybe long time ago, in this e-paper, the one that you are producing.
Yeah.
There was also a topic on immigration.
Yeah, there was a topic, but it's not a deep research to which can inform a government policy to take.
The purpose of the research is to cross the gap where others have ended. You now take it up there and close those gaps.
Okay.
And add more on that document.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah, we are continuing the conversation. It's 40 minutes past the hour of 7. And, as I indicated, today, as we do self-assessment, as we do self-analysis, as we look at, national developmental priorities and where the country is going, and also asking the questions to say, have we spoken enough? Have we spoken enough? Have we debated enough? Have we started doing what we are supposed to do? Especially when it comes to things that we can do at home. There is a very beautiful concept that I've seen when I'm reading the national developmental priorities and also what the government is looking up to. For example, mineral beneficiation, value addition, the aspect of agro-processing and all these things. But the question that we are always putting on the table is to say, why did we not think about the basic things that we can do? We are speaking about a nuclear plan, for example, to cater for energy, because we understand and research have shown that for us to have development, you cannot have development without energy security. That one is a bigger project that they have been thought about and people are discussing about it. But the question is that toothpicks, 35 years, we don't have somebody who is making toothpicks in Namibia. Is it really acceptable, or do we need to go and think about it? I am not against any business which is selling toothpicks, but why in Namibia can't we make simple things as toothpicks? Why can't we do that? Wipes. Just those things that at least start from the basics. When are we going to do that? Dolls. Why can't we? Then we focus on bigger things to support our people. Then we focus on machines and technical know-how. But really toothpicks, wipes, toilet papers. Guys, we need to be very serious, and we need to assist each other, especially those who already started. Good morning.
You know what we need to do?
Yeah.
What we need to do is to say, look, if you establish a research and planning and development thing, in each ministry or institution, you know. For instance, you take even a police site. This now, you want, because you have already police officer who are academic, who are pursuing academic studies. At the same time, these people are on the ground. On the ground with the policing.
What?
Now, what you need is there. You just need a qualified and a competent commissioner to head that thing. They identify all the problem, all the challenges to say, look, why people are always being killed in commerce. They have these data properly.
Yeah, data is there. And I like it. Namibian police have data are there.
So that now, when this police, they have to, when they go to UNAM to do their studies, now their research are informed by what?
Data,
which they themselves.
And
also is shaped by the experience they have.
they gathered over the years they have been in policy. Now, if I can tell you all the police officers that are there, maybe who has studied why they were policing, or maybe who are there. If we to say that for argument's sake, let's collect their research to see what topic they choose, you might find that it's not related to police. We are not saying it must always be related to police, but we try
just hold on.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine. Dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like boring day at the spun. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
You see, as I said, what you need is to because every institution, public, is have a mandate given by the state to perform. You see, when you go to, for instance, to the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, what is their responsibility? What is the challenge now facing the regional, the traditional authority, and the local authority?
There's a big challenge there. Now, I think there's an opportunity for research.
If you have now a research in the world, in the ministry, department, they are going to research about it. If the local authority has a research, you know, but a person responsible, because every local authority, region, and community have their own challenges that speak to them directly.
With that, Sankwasa is an academician looking at his background, and he has a numbers of papers. I think that one, he must do that. Not only, he's an academician. I know him.
Because the issue of research, creating research department there.
It's also creating employment and also quality of the animals.
You are going also to link it between what with the academic institution. Because remember, some people are coming in the workplace, starting also, they also starting, pushing their studies. Now, because they are in an institution that which has a mandate. Now the problems need to be known by the people that we are here and we have this problem and our responsibility is to address this issue. Now it's up to you as a person on the field, on the ground, to say, look, are we really meeting this mandate?
Indeed.
What is the issue? What does the academic, you know, literature saying? This is what the reality that we have on the ground.
And sometimes you don't need a big research. You just need to put in questions to say, why do we have built houses which are not yet occupied? What is the problem? Is it the pricing or is it the okay? Just posing questions, then the researchers they will do their job. Just posing questions.
These are issues. Or to say, look, why do we have the issue of shark dealers, for instance, in Vinduku, the city of Vinduku, up to date, shark dealers never deliver a single house land to the people. But no, that is in existence for however many years.
You can, because with the institution, you can just post questions, the researcher will do their job, you come, you can test to say, what decision should I make? You can post the questions to say, why do parliamentarians did not pass tangible laws yet after they were sworn in? You know, parliamentary researchers could have done that, because I've seen that it's not a matter of saying negative things. Our parliamentary researcher is for looking at data and also finding speeches. But when you look at South Africa, they have independent program on parliamentary research.
That's what I said. That you need the research. Look, there is one, I don't know what is Dr. Book, but they are saying, you know why we are not getting? Because it's Esther Dufalo.
Yeah.
Or fighting global poverty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was the latest book because by the time I get it, it was not yet released, but it was like a draft of it or something.
Okay, okay.
But I'm telling you, that lady says, and others, he's not the only person who has read that book. He said, look,
he
you get the statistic of the billion that the resources that were committed to eradicate that apparently go back.
Yeah.
But poverty is still there. What is wrong?
She asked difficult questions.
Yeah, what is wrong?
Yeah, yeah.
The problem, we don't have water. Planner, we have planner who are not researchers. Now, we need a planner who is a researcher at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
A planner, you speak from theory point of view, who remember what you are planning for, Okangwati.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've never been in Okangwati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yeah, yeah, I hear you,
it's like you are a lawmaker, who is managing a center, planning for everybody. Maracuchaco constituency, or no?
You're never there.
Every constituency must be represented
in
a national assembly.
Yeah.
Why? Because each constituency must give a candidate to be part of the national assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Or each constituency is represented.
But I think they do that in the I think it's in Kenya and I think many countries they do that to say every constituency, but it's only the nature of their parliament also. But I think
must be represented because now even the way we are, some people they come up with this funny argument apparently say we need a white system. What the system that we are having, we can still accommodate it. To say each political party must make sure that there is a candidate. They feed each constituent must produce a candidate. Each party must make sure they have a candidate in the constituency who is going to contest in it, who is going to be part of it.
Who is capable?
It does. Because sometimes we are saying, as much as we are emphasizing education, but there is also element that
you know,
to say as long as there is a bit imbalance, there's no imbalance there. Out of them, if you have two who are not at that level, it's okay because they are going to be guided and they are be willing to
learn. Yeah.
People who are willing to learn, to read.
Yeah.
And they also need to be trained.
And they can also be influenced because if you have two who are not able, they will always be influenced to focus also.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that, you know, our people who are at the lower level of education, that is the lack of transition that we lack to say, transition from native to modern, you know?
Democracy. Yeah.
That transition is very needed. If you know, that's why you find people who are their mindset still in a traditional way of thinking.
It's true.
And you are CEO. You are like it. You are like now taking decision as if you are making decisions for your own house.
Yeah, there are people who are really not.
You are the only person apparently because you are the accounting officer. You have to tell them like they know what to do. But you, they are like, we decide based on the rules here. What does the rules say? It's not my rules, it's just the rules. So that's why I said the issue of research department, they are very needed. And also we need also to revise our curriculum to say, look, there must be a public policy as a field of study. Each student must be taught public policy as a subject from year one up to year three or year four. Because public policy, public analysis, public what, you know how laws are made. They need to know.
Indeed.
It comes here, in the work also, they need to be safe. Because each institution have a mandate and they also identify problem why they are unable to
achieve them.
to achieve the mandate.
Yeah. Now, due to time, I want your input, especially today. I brought the topic. We did not really expand it on due to the time of the conversation about why do we continue importing things such as toothpicks, even water. After 35 years, are we really going to change anything?
Why are we
importing toothpicks? Do you know the toothpicks that we are using? They are bought with foreign currency.
Look, let me tell you one thing.
Yeah.
We are not taught sovereign.
No, we know.
You know, it's a word. Uh-huh. But we are not sovereign, state sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are taught independence.
Mm-hmm.
But independence without sovereignty is equal to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because sovereignty is protectionism. In other words, you must understand this word. You see?
Mm-hmm.
The protectionism that we were talking about the other time.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's a sovereign because sovereignty is the sender. Mm-hmm. You are taught about independence.
Mm-hmm.
But independence without sovereignty is nothing. Because it's to say, look, as a state, you must be at a level where you are not going to be influenced by foreign. Influence in what? Food, medicine, in all sectors. Now, do you think if you import everything from South Africa, all these things that we are saying,
mm-hmm.
because even when these people cannot test the result of COVID at the time,
mm-hmm.
the country has no sovereignty over that. They can be told any result, whether they are wrong or right, because they don't know. To evaluate, to say whether it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's why whatever is coming in this country from South Africa, you are just eating. Whether the
poison no, you know, my concern is also on the quality check. I'm a bit skeptical. I'm not undermining the institution which are checking the quality of things that are coming into Namibia. I just have a feeling of for formalizing, because when you look at the amount of product,
that's why I said that whatever they bring here,
we take
whether
it.
There's poison or what, you are just going to eat, because apparently it's past as African standard or what, zero standard or something.
Yeah.
Because as we don't have our own standard, you understand?
No, we have standard institution. I don't know what they. Oh, yeah, that one I know.
So, wait, Kunano, Obashik, Obako, the Nini question, you're not Toshika. Kunasa, that's it.
No, no, I thought you are talking about testing what is coming in.
Ah, so maybe Crombery, that he, Otoshi testing Yan, Ongini, going the roll is about the date.
No, you were supposed to say you need standard. Don't say you don't have. Say you need standard. Can we really not make a toothpick?
One day, I will sit with the Minister Sangwasa.
Yeah.
Tell me one something very important.
Yeah.
You didn't know. He was having a cow that he was giving birth, but has a problem to give birth.
Yeah.
Now the whole day it was like that. The cow is not delivering because of maple for condition. They bring in this now. UNAM student, maybe all these veteran people to come.
Yeah.
They were unable to deliver the cow.
Yeah.
The cow.
Yeah.
But they were just guy apparently from the village. They were even drunk apparently. He's the one that can now bring the gloves.
Yeah.
They delivered the cow. Now the minister is asking now them to say, Bosa, now with all your qualification and whatever technology that you have, and this one, which one must I believe you? Yeah. Yeah, that is the gap. Because even the UNAM that are teaching veterinary or whatever there,
yeah.
is just theory.
So
even the, it's a wrong, it's a wrong,
mm-hmm.
or where they are practicing those things. Ngeshando uli ne kunkunda, who know? Ukomi kunda na ke kero. So see, no, you me uno nambo how we go score amu mambo galau muno ngo. Like that.
Yeah.
Even the people who have the traditional knowledge how to make sure this condition have been addressed, but we not bridge these things.
I hear you.
Yeah. Because us, we have been stuck to the what? Instead of saying, ah, no, or a child want to become like a Christian or a lad, he doesn't want school. But you say, ah, the child must be in school. But in school, they don't teach how Christian are to play, how to become a Christian or that. But when you see the, is the infrastructure in school that will help us child to be Christian or that?
No, there are no infrastructure.
Yeah. In the location where they are staying, are those infrastructure there?
No, there is no infrastructure. Yeah.
Now, this is the gap that we are saying to say, look, we have a gap in it because we need to move from theory kind of view. When you go to Windhoek, you go to that Eros boy school.
Yeah.
Whether you know how to read or not, you just go there.
Yeah.
Simple. They teach you work, how to do, to work.
A vocational.
We even have children who are autistic, man.
Yeah, but they can work.
But they can come up with something. But you are only posting them how to read, to learn how to read, how to what. No.
Even I've seen, is it autism or what is this, condition of having, is it abnormal chromosome? How do you call it?
There are a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot, but if this one, they are required to teach, they are required to work with their hands, and, some of them, they are doing very well. It's down syndrome. Those days people used to hide their kids, but now they are being trained to do work.
That's what I said. The only thing, you need to do. That's why they are telling us, children, labor, what children not doing what? But for us to learn things, we learn, as soon as we don't through playing.
Yeah.
You need to make sure, which, at a level where they are starting, they're just in an environment. For you to realize which talent does this child have. Not necessarily to teach children how to read and write.
It's to identify talent at a younger age.
It's to identify talent at the age. Because when we have this even violence that killing and what all those things. But you have social worker. Each school was supposed to have a social worker. Every school was supposed to be taught social worker and also to be taught about children with special needs. It was supposed to be a course, and that's why each teacher was also supposed to be given subject from day one until it finished.
Yeah, but I think they started doing that. Is it inclusive education? They started doing that this year, including, but not at a deeper level to say every teacher must be taught inclusive education, but they must be very serious.
Even sometimes, you know that. Just a simple curriculum, maybe, one or in a year or two or so.
Yeah.
Just for every student to be taught, because these are the parents who have these children.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you myself, I didn't realize that my child was also, has autism.
Yeah.
Until I took him to school.
Grade
one. You see?
Yeah.
At the more grade one, no more pre kindergarten.
Yeah.
Why? Because we thought he's normal. But when he got there, he doesn't speak, he just writes. Then the child was worried to say, what is wrong with the child? The child cannot speak. Others who cannot speak. Then I sent the video of him in the house.
Yeah.
Doing all the things, making noise, you see. But his lady said, take him to the therapist and what was it to understand to the doctor.
Yeah.
It's when we realize that he has the condition called dyslexia or something.
But what about now others young, who are not?
He was young, he always repeat after you. When you speak something, he repeat after you. We never realized that it was it. It's like if you speak the word for the first time, he didn't know. He need to understand it. What is it? That's why you have to repeat after you.
Yeah.
Because we realize if you speak and he repeat after you, which means he didn't hear what you are saying.
Uh-huh. So, but now he's learning.
Now he's better because even if you find him now, but we also to remove him because of the apparently he doesn't need to be because they were saying let's take him to the special school that one at Eros,
that one at Eros.
Or Klein. They say, if we come here, he will be because it's not that much. Maybe just 70% or 80%, you know, 30% of that condition in him.
So he can learn.
Yeah, taking him here, these are like 80% the condition. He will go back.
Just
into the mainstream. In a mainstream again, he cannot go because of the number of children in class. He need a special, but the problem is, you know that you have these children like that, but you all still want to teach them exactly.
No, I hear you.
In the same, because you want to measure him according to the children who are normal.
But you don't want to end the special equipment, different way of evaluating, even giving tests. Sometimes I also realize that it's not.
This one, he can read. He can even better than the big brother. Because the big brother was in grade 5 or 6. But this one, if you give them the book to read, he read. But now when you are assessing him, why? Because you need, now you want him to write.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
But he has a problem with the writing.
I hear you. Yeah.
If you have to assess his level of intelligence now, he needs to do.
It would be unfair.
It would be unfair because you want him to write it, but
he has a strength that people have always strength and a weakness and it's good that you mentioned that point. It's not only about students, it's also about talent to say what we did in Namibia, we throw away all the people who were not doing well academic. Then we get our theorist. Now we are stuck at building of infrastructure. now we are reviving the VTC. Yeah. But we have 1 minute, because Mike will jump in. Yeah.
Some kids with those conditions.
They
have too much energy.
Like
now they are saying, for him when he needs the gas and that's even swimming to relieve some of that energy.
No, we don't even know what the swimming pool is in Altura.
At school where it is, there's no swimming pool. In a location where you are saying there's no public. You understand? Now you need now to take him to swimming class or what at Olympia, all those things. It's costly. But that's where the element of now, those local authority and government to come in to say, that's why the issue of public services.
Infrastructure.
That can be supported by everybody.
Okay. Thank you for your input and, the time is gone.
Okay.
Sure. Yes. Dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop and, Michael Shoveri. We join soon in a few minutes, but from me, Devin Shombe, thank you very much. Continue listening and continue engaging with us. Also, make sure that you follow us at all our social media platform, that is Eagle FM Namibia, and also read the Villager newspaper, and make sure that you have access to the content in context of the economic affairs we read, and also give your comments. Your comments always matter because that is how we learn, how we improve, and also how we can be able to upgrade ourselves, particularly when it's coming to issues of national development. Let us not stop continuing of the debate, because the debate is valuable. As long as the debate is healthy, and also let us debate so that we can learn new things, because every day you learn one or two things, every day you unlearn, because ask the question why things are stuck, why things are not moving the way you wanted to move, what method are you using, what can you do differently, like the caller have stated, it's important to refocus on industrial research, it's important to combine the two.
Is it important also to look at the public sector? Is it also important to have sovereignty and also be independent, especially when it coming to making of our own things? So, from me, David Shombe, bye bye for now, and see you around.